Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio, America's original 12-step radio show. From addiction to recovery, from despair to encouragement, and everything in between. This is real life. And now, Steppin' Out Radio.
Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host. And if you're just joining us, we feature stories of people that have overcome and triumphed, not even just overcome, but triumphed over all sorts of issues in their lives. And whereas life might not be perfect now, they've wound up, these people and these great storytellers wound up living life. And they're here to share with you how they were able to overcome issues, whether it's through yoga or meditation or going to meetings or a therapist or all of the above. So right now, I'm really excited to introduce you to a beautiful lady named Charlotte. And Charlotte is here to share her story with you. So Charlotte, welcome to Steppin' Out.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And you just heard the previous story, and when we do Steppin' Out Radio, we usually do it in chronological order in someone's life, but we don't have to.
Okay.
But with you, if you just want to give us a little overview about you and give us a little background so the audience can know you, and then share with us what you feel like you want to share.
Sure. I am really touched by the last piece that Asia just spoke about. In her life. So that has inspired me to speak today because, we're all so precious. Every human being on this earth is so precious. And the words that we use to describe ourselves have such an impact on how we see ourselves and how we see the world and how we see humanity that I'm going to take extra special care of the words I use on this podcast, on this radio show right now. Mm-hmm. So I have learned through hard work and dedicated practice to getting well that our genesis of identity, if something has happened to us when we were little, and it can be anything, it can be any event. My event, my biggest one, the first one was I was sexually abused. I was sexually assaulted when I was 5. And that is where I get to share because the sentence we form as little kids about that situation, whatever yours may be, usually has to do with the phrase, something is wrong here, something is wrong with me. I don't belong. It can be bullying. It can be anything. So with that being said, we have, as children into adulthood, carried a reality with our own words, within our own brains, about ourselves, that there's something wrong with me, that I don't fit in, whatever the sentence is for you, there are at least 3 events that happen. So that was my first one when I was 5. So to touch on that and then to bring it back to right now, I have just recently discovered what the genesis of identity is with my personality and design of who I am. In that moment when I was little, was like, oh my God, I will never let any person experience what I just experienced. And what I experienced was the loss of my own voice, to say no, to protect my own body, to say this is my body. I was so little that I didn't have that terminology down. But what I did know was that somebody close to me that's supposed to protect me didn't protect me. A couple of other instances similar to that occurred after that age, but they were different experiences. So the construct of my words as a child have impacted my whole life. And so it's what makes us successful as human beings, because we make a vow to never be like that or to always be this way. And then we also are intrinsically connected to our traumatic events and how we define them with our words to ourselves. And so what I understand now is that I would have never been able to comprehend who I am if I didn't give these events the time, the meditation, the thought, and the care, and seeing how they've made me be an amazing person, as well as be almost what felt like forever tied to as a, you know, broken person or traumatized person. That has disappeared in my life. I'm free of that anxiety that I lived with, that got harder and harder, and it lived within my body longer and longer. As my years went on and as I went through things that triggered that. So when I'm telling you about what happened to me, my belief in me not being a good person, or that there was something wrong with me because of the shame that is tied to sexual abuse and trauma. When I would seek approval or reassurance outwardly, I would never believe it. So I would need to hear it again. So even if I played a great soccer game, for example, and I would be told, "You did a great job," I would be like, "Really?" And then I would ask again, mm-hmm. because that has to do with never knowing if that's true because of the sentence I formed as a child. And meditation and yoga with those sentences that we formed as children and those events that changed the way that we see our world, they really uncovered physical ailments that I've because of those words, that mm-hmm. there's something wrong with me. They manifested physically, and they've accumulated into dis-ease or unease in my body. And that's also intrinsically tied to sexual abuse. So since I've kind of divided the story of the instances mm-hmm. and realized how to determine what happened, like saying I was sexually abused when I was 5, and saying specifically, and I don't know if I can say this on air, but I was forced to give head when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I threw up in my mouth, and I was in a closet, and it was very traumatizing, and I didn't get help for it.
Did you tell anybody, or you?
I don't remember telling anybody. Mm-hmm. So I held it in until I was probably 19, when I had gone through relationships. My first relationship, my boyfriend at the time's mom ended up breaking us up 2 months into it, my first real love. And then we dated 6 months behind her mm-hmm. back. And my experience and how the world occurred to me then was that there's something wrong with me. I'm not mm-hmm. good enough. So it was a repetition of my childhood trauma that nobody knew about. Mm-hmm. And I didn't voice my emotional life. I was a good listener, and I'm still learning how to voice my emotions mm-hmm. right now, which is great. So I was always on the phone line for my first boyfriend, listening to his whatever was going on at home for him. Mm-hmm. And then when it came to the mother thing, like when his mom didn't want me to date him, and him not being able to do that because love isn't a switch you can turn on and off. And we ended up doing the whole, like, secretive dating thing. And mm-hmm. all the family members, like, around us protected us. All of our friends' parents who knew that mom protected the secret. Mm-hmm. Because it was very conflicting for people. They didn't want to hurt these children. You know, we were children in high school, no matter what.
Right.
They want to hurt these kids. And yet, at the end of the day, I was definitely impacted by the way that ended, because
of course.
My mm-hmm. Experience was that the mom broke us up anyway when she found out he bought me earrings for my birthday. So basically, that was my first romantic relationship. And then what transpired after that was genuine disbelief that this that there isn't anything wrong with me, that there might be something about me that's just not good enough. So basically, the way that we experience our lives has to do with our genesis of identity, because it's almost like we're seeking it out as we're running from it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, to relate, protecting other people and being there for other people and never letting somebody else get hurt or feel shame, that's been a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I protect other people from being hurt, I didn't actually know how to protect myself from being hurt. So I would sacrifice myself to protect other people's feelings. But at the same time, it made me a really big advocate against bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And so my voice was heard and is always heard mm-hmm. when it comes to bullying, because that was my sentence that I formed, that I would never let anybody be taken advantage of
mm-hmm.
and feel the shame that I experienced ever. I promised it in that 5-year-old moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up telling on a teacher when I was in 5th grade who was bullying a kid in my class. So I was about...
So you were ahead of your time, really.
I was like 10, mm-hmm. I guess.
I mean, you're young, but like now bullying is such a big deal.
Yeah.
But you were ahead of your, you know. Yeah. This was before social media?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, so.
I saw that bright red go into his cheeks. She would...
So what happened?
What happened was she would make fun of his handwriting and in front of publicly shaming
mm-hmm.
in front of the class, saying, "Oh, you are so, you know, so bad at writing, and your handwriting is terrible. I can't read it." And just saying things and just seeing him
probably turning red. And
I was like, that little 5-year-old in me, that's why I'm not mad about it. Like mm-hmm. it happened, but that's it. Like,
so you said you told. Did you tell the
so
principal?
So I told. Or? I waltzed on down to the principal's office.
Good
I was like,
you.
We have to have a conversation. So like, that's who I am. And
did that person get reprimanded? I hope
that teacher got in a lot of trouble.
Good.
And that kid, I actually ended up going to college, and he was at the same college as me.
Wow.
And he came up to me freshman year, and he was like, "You. I will never forget what you did for me, because you told that principal what that teacher did, and it changed my life."
Wow.
And so I'm trying to get to the point that our voices and how we speak about ourselves and how we protect one another and destigmatize one another and allow space for people to learn who they are by revealing those stories that we told ourselves when we were little that genuinely have created every decision
mm-hmm.
Subconsciously or consciously in our lives,
mm-hmm.
that once we connect those events with the stories that we said when we were little, we can forgive who we are in that moment
mm-hmm.
and everything that has happened in our lives. And it can disappear, and we can be free, independent of the definitions that truly harm us and hold us back from being completely and fully expressed human beings in every aspect of our lives. Yoga, as Asia was talking about, transformed my ability to alleviate my thought processes. So I think there's a lot to be, you know, provided there for anybody who has anxiety, depression.
Did you do the same
and
type?
Addiction.
I know.
I have done Kundalini. It's amazing. It's called the Diamond of Yoga. It's also called it's not an exercise per se if you contrast it to like a asana or a vinyasa class.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, they call it a technology, but it's it really allows those.
But
channels.
You did other kinds as
totally.
Well.
Totally.
Interesting.
Totally.
Good.
And it saved my life in this way that I broke through the thought processes that I wasn't a good person or
mm-hmm.
something bad about me or whatever those thoughts that were reoccurring because of all of the events that had occurred in my life up until the point where I was like, 20, 21?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I first discovered yoga. I found my teacher. who was just like a life changer. She's incredible.
And I just want to add something because you had a, you know, horrific trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have these thoughts because they come on the show and I learn, you know, I learn more from everybody that comes on. It doesn't even have to. And what you had obviously was so traumatic. And I got the chills when you told it and could bust out crying. But a lot of people are out there struggling, too, just not feeling good about themselves because maybe somebody said, I hate your dress or you look fat in that or you know what I mean? That could cause that terrible damage that you're saying into their being. And so it's very powerful what you're saying because we don't have to live with that. With that mantra of I'm not good enough or I'm fat or, you know, we do get stuck at that young age. So thank you for sharing about, you know, how we use our words.
Absolutely.
And it's so, you know, it's more people probably feel that way than don't.
Totally.
You know?
And a lot of the things that we think have a huge impact on mm-hmm. what we say out loud.
Right.
And, you know, when it comes to stigma, like in social media right now, and just communication is changing so much right now that the words that we use, even on the headlines of papers and websites and what really catches people's eyes are those words that are like very incriminating.
Sure.
And I wanted to define like how that is a story. Like if somebody calls you fat, that's a story. So that's not who you are. If somebody calls you stupid, that's their story about you. That is not who you are. If somebody says anything to you over and over again, and you know, even if you do yoga every day of your life, if you're surrounded by something like a oppression, somebody that's abusing their space around you, verbally, physically, everything. Their story, they're holding, you have to understand, they're holding on to their story about you so hard. But that doesn't mean that it's true. And every time you hear it, every day that you might hear it or feel it or experience it, it's only a story. It's not who you are. And so when we differentiate something that's happened, like if somebody says something, you're like, that's what happened. That person said that. That doesn't define you.
Right.
So what all we have in our lives is our voice and being authentic and speaking our truth and not our story, because our truth and our story can't be one and the same. So if I said that I don't understand who I am, I'm dumb, I'm confused, that's also a story. And that wouldn't be true. So that would be an inauthentic expression of myself. But if I said things that have happened in my past, that's the truth. Because mm-hmm. what happened, happened.
Right.
I tied my shoe at 4 p.m. is what happened.
Right.
I missed the train at 3 p.m. That happened, right? So
like a tangible thing that happened.
It's a tangible
right.
thing. And
right.
so it removes the words that we misuse by accident because we don't know any better.
And I think it's so pervasive. And as you would know, too, even on social media, what people say to each other.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
My girls are – I have twin daughters and they're older now. They're in college. Well, they just graduated college. But when – you know – when they were younger and they'd show me mean things that people wrote, like I would just be horrified, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that is so damaging. That could be life-altering, damaging.
Yeah, you know? It impacts people.
Right.
And like at a young age, these children right now are seeing everything that we did not see when
no.
we were that age.
No.
Words, pictures.
Not invited to things, you know, when I grew up, it was taught, you know, if you have a party, you have to include everyone in the class, you know, oh, you know, and just what they see. And
that is that is the thing, because that can be the event of the genesis of identity for that kid.
Right.
They could go, there's something wrong with me. I don't belong.
Right.
That could be their genesis of identity. And then they can feel like an outcast
And it's so much easier to feel like an outcast almost than years ago because of social media.
Absolutely. And it's an internalized experience. Bullying is an internalized experience. And it can happen just alone. You know, we're all computers. Like everybody is, we're all programmed. So when we're little, when we make a sentence to describe what's going on, because we're a computer, we're always trying to find meaning in what's going on around us in everything. So when we're little, we're like, oh my God, I don't belong. I'm on my own. And that's what happens when we feel like we're being bullied. Like
No one understands me. I'm different.
Right. We internalize the sentence and we think that we're not good enough to be invited or that we're not lovable or whatever. So
and I don't know about you, and we have Asia here too, but like when I was younger, and again, I think it's because there was no social media, I grew up on a block and they were my friends in some form and they still are. I would talk to my daughters and say, I'm just making up names. How is Jane and Barbara? Because they were friends since preschool. Like this, inseparable. You know, their parents were friends, their mothers. And my girls would go, oh, they're not friends. I go, you're kidding. Because they were, oh, no, they don't even talk. I go, they can't even talk? Oh, no. You know, it's like, it also becomes like you were dead to that person, your persona non grata. And that's it. It's over. And that's really frightening, too. Like you said earlier, I think you started the show with, we're not what one person thinks about us. But this is what the world is turning into. And there's so much turmoil, because of it.
Totally. Anyway. And like what I've experienced, actually, I was at college for quite some time, but I was there for basically 3 years straight. I didn't come home. I was studying through summers, all that stuff.
Wow.
And in society, people basically were like, it's like I went to Mars, It's like,
right.
She's off the map. We haven't seen her. But they thought that I didn't care about them or whatever. That could be a story, right? That's a story. But I don't know. The bottom line is I don't know.
Right, or whatever. Yeah.
No, not that. That I fell off the map and I'm not in their social circles anymore because they haven't seen me in so long.
Okay.
No, yeah. So
Did they express that to you, or it's just the vibe you got?
It's just what I experienced recently in my life is that I haven't been invited to weddings that I was definitely I was gonna be her maid of honor or life changes. Like people and stigma has everything to do with this. If people are afraid of reputation and words and being associated with people that have a stigma, like saying somebody's a drug addict, for example, in America is like, I can't hang out with them.
Right.
They're drug addicts.
Right.
But the way that we are saying that is a story and it's not who they are.
Right.
And that's the problem. And the solution is understanding that that's a story and that that's not fully who that person is. And that the people that tell the story need to realize that it's damaging to them and their ability to have a conversation with that person. And it's damaging to the person that they're saying it about. And it's just demeaning any conversation they're in general. And the media is doing this all the time.
And they've been doing that for years. But
so
now it's, again, worse. Because
so much worse now. My God.
Yeah, everything is... Well, Charlotte, this has been so eye-opening and you shared a lot. It's a lot to digest, but I think it's a beautiful thing to digest for those out there because if we don't change, I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, thanks for sharing your story.
Thanks so much.
And hopefully you'll come back again with Asia sometime.
We will.
Okay. Okay, thanks again. You're listening to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host. For more stories like these, please check us out. Tell your friends. We also have a new mobile app. It's on Android and iPhone called Steppin' Out Radio. And if you want to hear more stories, go to steppinoutradio.com. Okay, we'll see you next time. Thanks.